Yo, 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 what's up? It is your girl, Ruby Ju. What's up? I'm so glad you came and stopped by to listen to this episode. I appreciate you. Before you move further, please make sure you are following Ruby Ju Radio on Facebook and Instagram at Ruby Ju Radio. Go ahead and get into this episode. We was live. We was in color. We was in full effect. We have the good interviews, the juiciest celebrity gossip, the real life topics, and we're also here to inspire you to do great in life. Don't forget to check out Ruby Ju website at RubyJuLLC.org. That is Ruby Ju Variety Shop. Once again, that is RubyJuLLC.org. Ruby Ju Variety Shop is a shop where I sell a variety of items because I may just have what you need. Don't forget to grab your favorite cocktail and come chill with your girl. Also, don't forget to check out Mellow Sauce. Because guess what? Remember, they got the drip, but I got the motherfucking sauce. Mellow Sauce is a sweet and spicy sauce that goes on any and everything. Make sure you check us out on Instagram and Facebook at MELLOWSSAUCE93. Again, that is MELLOWSSAUCE93, baby. Get your sauce today. Go ahead and order. Go ahead and get into this episode of Ruby Ju Radio. Get into my new single, Crush Thing. And baby, I will catch you later. Because remember, life is too short. So have fun some of the time. This is a very talented young lady, and a fun fact about this young lady is she is my blood cousin. She my baby cousin. She my blood cousin. So, you know what I'm saying? Cuz came on the podcast, you know, chop it up with me, you know what I mean? Let the world hear her voice and know about what she got going on. So, without further ado, go ahead and introduce yourself. Go ahead.
Well, for the people who don't know me, my name is Ashley Lewis. I'm 23 years old. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a young entrepreneur who's basically a clothing fashion designer, whatever, you know, you want to call it. And I was born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia, like I said, 23 years old. And to talk more about my clothing business, first it started off as, because for the people who don't know, I'm a small petite young lady. So the clothes that I did want, you know, they was kind of big. So I said to myself, how can I save, you know, some money and, you know, be creative at the same time? So I stepped out on faith and I got me a sewing machine. And how I learned how to use a sewing machine was really by YouTube, just, you know, looking and paying attention. Nobody really never sat down with me to teach me how to do it. So everything I learned up to now is me and God teaching me how to do it. So if there's any, you know, more questions you want to ask, then so be it.
Okay, I like this. Ring the bell. I like the fact that she said she stepped out on faith. A lot of people ain't got faith when they doing stuff.
Nah,
see,
not today.
They don't. They be, as my grandma would say, it's the microwave generation doing everything quick.
They quick.
Instant gratification. It don't work like that. So, yes, and you know, Auntie Agnes, she was a good sewer. So you got that in your blood. The sewing, you know, good with my hand. Everybody, like most people on outside the family, are good with their hands. You know what I'm saying? So I'm good with my hand. I know how to make stuff, bake stuff, create. So I be here creating all kind of shit, selling and everything. You know, you know how I do. You may catch me over here doing this. You may catch me over here doing that. Anyway, so I want to know, like, what made you? I know you said that. You know, you wanted to, you kind of
small, you're kind of petite, you know, and find clothes that fit you and stuff like that. So when you first started, like, what really motivated you to keep going and keep just getting better and better at what you were doing? What really motivated you to do that?
It was my pastor, Apostle Gene Forts. At first, like I said, it was just for, you know, to tailor my clothes. But once I really started, you know, really getting into it, I realized this is something, you know, that God has given me as a talent. And at first, I was blinded because I was asking God, like, hey, God, what's my talent? What is something I could do to make money? But not knowing, he gave it to me already in front of me, but I was so blinded that I couldn't see it. And so what really motivated me was really, I don't know about y'all, but if y'all ever felt like y'all let y'all family down, that's really why, you know, I feel that hunger inside of me, because it's a side of me that I feel like I let my family down. But then again, is another side of me. The reason why I really do so is because growing up, you know, through these past years, you know, I had, you know, hidden faults, hurt, pain, damages, and I never really dealt with that. So me just, you know, doing sewing, I put on my gospel as I'm sewing, and that really helps my spirit to, you know, remove all that angry, everything that's not of God out of me. So that really was keeping me motivated. And like you said, it's in my family. I didn't know that until our auntie told us. And I'm like, wow, so that's how I got, you know, to this point. So that's really the main reason why, you know, I'm keeping motivated with this.
Okay, I like that. I like that. The family is the motivation. Get what? Family is the only motherfucking motive. Yes, okay, okay. I like that. Ring the bell. Ring the bell. So, with you being a young designer, with you being a young person out here in the world trying to start a business, what would you say, like, some of the challenges? I feel like all the young people, because I have a few young people that listen. My audience range from 18 to, like, 45, so all types of people be listening. So, for the younger people out there, this is for the younger crowd, you know, I'm in my 30s, she's in her 20s, baby. I can't even remember what the fuck I was doing at 23, okay? So, for the younger generation out there, what would you say would be the most challenges with you trying to start a business, getting yourself out there, branding, things of that nature? Like, how deep have you, let me, because I asked three questions in one, let me just slow down. So what would you say would be the challenges that you've been facing that you're having now with, like, starting a business and, you know, getting clientele and stuff like that?
Really, for me, I can't speak for nobody else, but for me, just like I said, learning stuff on my own is kind of frustrating, but it's kind of a teachable moment at the same time, because when you don't understand something, it's like you just won't do it. But when I stepped out and I made something that I had fear about doing, it came out better than I thought. So for the younger generation, I would just say, whatever your fear is, just go through it. The key word is you're going through it. You're not going to stay there. So what I would say, just always include God in everything. God will not lead you astray. God will show you things. He'll give you wisdom about that question that you have about your business, because he did that to me one time. I said, God, I need help on this. I don't understand this. All I had to do was just ask the question, and he gave me the answer. So for every young person, entrepreneur, if you're really trying to start a business and you want to see it grow, keep God included, because you can't do it by yourself. If you do it by yourself, it won't last.
Amen to that. Amen. You said something very important. You said the part about, oh my shit, my other microphone in my way. Hold on. Okay, here we go. You said the part about going through it, you know, having a fear and going through it. I always tell people, don't let your outcome be your income. What I mean by that is, don't let a temporary circumstances be a permanent situation in your life.
Right.
A lot of people make decisions out of temporary circumstances, not seeing the bigger picture. So it's good that you're young and you have, you know, so you had that vision. And plus, you got, you know, people around you that are spiritual and into right. whatever they into, you know right. what I'm saying? So yeah. I always tell people on this podcast, we don't talk about in the podcast: sports, religion, and politics. And the three things that can get your ass out of here real quick. So, you know, motherfuckers is dying behind shit like that. So, you know, we don't talk about that type of stuff, but I ain't saying you can say this, you know, that's your spiritual. Yeah. This is for the yeah. listeners. But for, you know what I'm saying, for anybody that's listening, you know, whatever you believe in, whoever you pray to, you know, believe in that, because you are whatever you believe in. So believe in that, pray to that, keep whatever spiritual path you got going on, and mm-hmm. just keep your energy cleansed and keep, you know, hating ass motherfuckers and motherfuckers who ain't doing shit with their life often around you and shit like that. So yes. So let me ask you another question. So far as like marketing and branding, because you know I'm kind of good with marketing, baby. I make my sales off of crazy videos. I be saying shit, people be like, oh, let me buy it, let me get that. I'm like, damn, I didn't think that shit was gonna work. It be working. So with you doing marketing, like what's one of the ways that you market? Like cause nowadays, see, back in the 90s and shit like that, marketing was you gotta target this person and do this and you gotta act this man, act this and look like this. Nowadays, you can make TikTok videos, shake your head, whatever. That's a part of marketing because you introduce people to what you're doing. So like, what type of marketing you doing? What? Because, you know, marketing got to be relatable. People got to be able, nowadays, people want to be able to relate to you and know you're on a personal level before they shop with you, because everything is online. You know, it ain't like we going to Nordstrom's inside the store shopping. I'm being you online. I see I like your product. Can I trust you to buy this? Stuff like that. Yeah. So what are you doing, like, far as, like, marketing-wise with your brand? I see you be posting something, baby, because, you know, because it's slightly expensive. Baby, I ain't going to talk you out your prices. I'm just going to tell you, I come back when I can afford it. Okay? So, with you, you know what I'm saying? With you, you know, setting the tone with doing your own business, I think that's a great idea. You do your own business, because the best investment you can invest in is investing to yourself.
Right.
That's the best investment, because you know the link, only you know your vision, only you know where you want to go. So what are you doing, like, far as marketing wise? Let the people know what you're doing far as marketing wise, far as getting your product out there. I don't know how deep you have gone into marketing and branding, but what are you doing far as marketing and branding? What are you doing for that?
So with marketing, how I see it is, I look at things that this generation is drawn to. So this generation is drawn to TikTok, basically social media. So what I do is, boom, I make a video how to make a jacket from scratch. I show the people the steps, boom, post it on YouTube. I do the same thing with Instagram, but with Instagram, I send it to my friends and they send it out and post it on their stories. So the people on their stories, they see it. And if they like it, they come to me. So basically, I just try to find the trend about, you know, when it's relevant to the generation. Because the generation, it's easy to be rich. You just got to know how to move. You just got to know how to
go. Amen to that. Amen to that, baby. Amen to that. You said a mouthful. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
So it's just all about it's all about what the generation is looking for. So this generation, I could say money. They like stuff with money. They like stuff with, you know, drugs and stuff like that. So I don't try to incorporate stuff like that, but when it comes to money, I probably add something on my clothing brand that has something to deal with money. Yep. But other than that, that's about it. And also, I wear my brand, and I ask people when I'm wearing my brand, I say, hey, you like custom clothing? And you know, they seriously, because I went to the store, he was like, that's your brand? I said, yeah. He's like, that's hard, let me get your number. So just little stuff like that, you know, when people see your brand and they like it, they tell their friends and their friends tell their other friends. So that's really about it. Just putting yourself out there.
So with her saying that, I'm gonna give these people, I'm gonna give you some secrets, because people be like, can you help me? Can you train me? But it's gonna cost you, baby. And then free. You feel what I'm saying? Not even the air you breathe. Ain't shit free. I don't work for free.
Hit that cash out.
Okay, look, hit that cash out, hit that PayPal, baby. So look, because I have a background in business. you know, for all throughout high school, I did like graphics and design and creating stuff. So that's my background. I have a background in business. For those, you know, don't tell them, I got a partial degree in bachelor's in business administration. a partial bachelor's in business. I got eight more classes to go. Okay.
Okay.
Well, anyway, if I do the finish, I'll be the first person in the family to have on that side to have a bachelor's degree. And on my mama's side as well. You know what I'm saying? So I've been reaching new heights, but it's three keys to marketing. That's very important that all people always miss out on. It's networking, consistency, and reputation. You want to network with different people. You want to show different people what you got. When I was teaching people how to drive traffic to their Instagram, I always tell them, look, the idea every day is to get your content in front of new people every day. Because sometimes when you start showing it to the same old people, they'll bypass, oh, she's just doing that, she's doing that, whatever. They don't pay, they take it for granted. So the key is to get your product or your service in front of people, new people every day. Whether you got to run ads, whether you got to get people to share, whether you got to go live, join Facebook groups, join a close friend, whatever you got to do for social media wise, get your content, your services, your product in front of new people every day. Right. Number two is repetition. Repetition. You want to consistently. You want to repeat the same. Like have you ever noticed you hear that same Burger King commercial about 10 times before you get to the next song? You hear that same Apple Watch commercial about 20 times before you go into the ad to go into your whatever they showing after that. You do repetition. Yeah. Companies got to learn from these big companies, these Fortune 500 companies. You know, repetition. Target have repetition. Apple. All these companies do repetition stuff. And sometimes simple is always. Sometimes simple can be sophisticated. Sometimes simple is the best thing. Look at Gucci. Look at Louis Vuitton. They logos are black and motherfucking white, and they make millions of dollars every motherfucking year.
Same thing.
Listen, okay. The third thing is consistency. That's one thing I have a problem with is being consistent because I'm impatient and I'm working on my patience. Yeah, you got to be consistent. You got to keep putting out content. If you say you're gonna come live on Tuesday, come live on Tuesday. Hell, for the first 3 months, you may be late. You may say you're gonna come on 10:30, but don't come on till 11:30. But people go back and watch your videos. People go back and see things. People go back because you got to think, your timeline. Sometimes that's why I ask people to post my flyer when we interview. I ask them to post it on their timeline and their story because the people that see your timeline don't see your stories. The people that see your story don't see your timeline. Instagram has made it. Well, now they went back to the old way with the chronological order, but it's a way you got to go in and do it, and everybody don't know how to do that. You got to tap that Instagram, the word Instagram, and hit the arrow button and go to I'm like, why you just didn't automatically just make it like that? Why I got to go through that to do all that? You know what I'm saying? It is too much. So that's why I tell people to post, but you got to start. You got the same post on all the same shit you post on Facebook, post it on Instagram, and your timeline ain't started the same thing. Same thing. I know you always see me on my story. You be seeing me. I be on my story, but I be talking shit. I might have a glass of wine. You see me in my goddamn shirt. If I got me a chain on, whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? And people know what I do. Just like I was posting, that I was doing, you know, some little documents, whatever. And people been still coming to me. I ain't post that shit in months. But see, you have to realize too. Sometimes people watch you and watch you and watch you. They want to know if they can trust you, and they also gonna watch you because one day they may not need that shit today, they may not need that shit tomorrow, but 2 months from today, they're like, oh damn, you still making them clothes, you still doing that. They're gonna need that because they got some event coming up, and you pop up in your mind. You want to associate yourself with a brand. Like a lot of times, when people think about podcasts and they think about Ruby Jew, you want to know why? Because Ruby Jew be posting her goddamn podcasts. I be showing out, I'm on different platforms. So when you want to associate, just like when people associate. When people think about fast food, they're associated with McDonald's. McDonald's is the number one fast food chains besides Chick-fil-A in the world. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So when people say, when they see that fast food, they instantly think of McDonald's. You want to also associate your brand with a category. You want to always be able to, when people think about custom clothing, they even think about chips and tits. You know what I'm saying? They need to be thinking about that when they think about customized clothes. So you want to always make sure you got them networking, make sure you consistent, and make sure you're doing repetition. So those are the three keys. If you're listening out there, if you're trying to get your marketing on, you're trying to slide, you're trying to swerve, baby, those are the three keys, you know what I'm saying, to marketing for me and my experience and what I've been through and how I've been selling. Like, people are like, well, how you made $5,000 on Facebook in 2 months? Baby, I started getting in front of new people. I started saying, well, let me stop showing my shit to my family. Let me stop showing my shit to friends and family that know me and know my background, think they know who I am. They know Queetie, but they don't know Ruby Jew. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I had to get in these Facebook groups. I had to share myself out, get in here, go live. Sometimes I would pay people to get in their Facebook group and just start selling my product. And now I accumulated clientele like that. That's how I was able to make $5,000 within 2 months on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? If it worked, like Jay-Z said, repeat the process that Jay-Z said. If it worked,
it's gonna work again.
One customer, you can get 1,000 customers. You just got to put that work in. You know what I'm saying? I love talking about shit like this.
You got to put the work in, and
ain't nothing in here free. So look, let's get a little juicy. Let's get a little juicy, okay? So I want to talk about the dating scene here in Atlanta, okay? So you know, we know you from family, we know we from ATL with the players as well, you know what I'm saying? Where shit don't swell around here, you feel me? Okay, so look, what is dating like for you in the Atlanta scene? Like, what is the dating scene like for you? Like, do you feel like it's different from back in the day? Do you feel like it's the same?
Very much.
How you feeling? Like, what's it like for you? What's the dating scene like for you?
Just due to the fact that this generation really have no guidance. Mm-hmm. And they just out here just living life how they want to. It just says a lot. Like, you can have a conversation with one person. You could just tell, you know, how that person really is. And so with this generation, you got to be careful.
Yeah,
really have to be careful, cause the same person that tell you they love you can be the same one they tell you they'll kill you. And for me, like, I recently just got out of a situation that was very much toxic.
Yeah,
very much toxic. So it's just like I had to remove myself. And sometimes we be blinded by love, but sometimes you gotta look at the bigger picture. You got to look at the red flags. You got to look at what they're saying and stuff.
What they doing, they anxious,
Yeah, you just got to look at everything that they doing. So it's just like with this generation, like I said, just don't have no guidance. Yeah. They're selfish.
Yeah.
They only care about themselves. So it's just like, I can't surround myself with people like that, to be honest. Like, if you're around me, you have to You got to have a vision, basically. You got to have a vision. I can't be around people who just want to keep going to the club 24/7. Them days are over with. Me, them days are over with. Like, I done did that for like 2-3 years, and it's a repeated cycle. So it's just like, with the dating scene, I'll probably one day until I know that it's right, because the way that young adults think, the way that they go about situations, they think being crazy is cute. It don't make sense to me. Sometimes I feel like social media has an influence, because some people live by quotes off social media. And so that's another fact, because I remember I was dealing with this one person, and in the middle of us going at it, they posting on Instagram. And that's another thing, like, if we dealing with a problem or something, you shouldn't run to Instagram about the situation when you have somebody right here in front of you who's a part of the situation, who can help you go through the situation with you. To Instagram is going to make it worse, and you're adding more people in the situation who don't have no input. And I realize nowadays people who indulge in that, they just want a temporary void.
Yeah.
Because that's it. It's just like, I see right through this generation, really. So it's just like, with this dating, I probably won't be dating for a minute, to be honest, because with this vision that I have, I don't have time to be, you know, doing that. I really don't. So that's just how I feel about the dating scene. It's just not for me right now.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that. You got to think too, Atlanta is oversaturated. See, a lot of people that's living here in Atlanta ain't from Atlanta, but they claiming Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? It's the real Atlanta is totally different. Like, a lot of shit that these niggas doing, these bitches doing, we don't do that shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm from the hood, grew up raised in the hood, still living in the hood, you feel what I'm saying? So it's just like, I see a lot of people want to be hood and be ghetto superstars, but when you from Right. When you from that shit, you don't want to be like, I'm from that shit. I don't want to be in and partake in none of that shit because I already know where that shit end up. So I ain't got to fake it and flog it and make no song or try to prove to anybody I'm a great baby. None of that shit, because I am who I am. So with that being said, with Atlanta being a melting pot with people from all over, people coming with different perspectives, different views on relationship. People are coming. Like, I heard one young dude say, now it's a dude, you know, he be in my building sometimes, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm cool with my neighbors and stuff. So we was talking or whatever, and he was like, shit, what the bitch gonna do for me? What you gonna give me? We both trying to bust a nut. She giving me a nut, I'm giving her a nut. But I'm thinking to myself, like, for you to even think like that.
And that's the problem with you.
For you even be thinking like that, you ain't even my type of caliber of guy. Because at the end of the day, yeah, we may be both providing somebody for, but you are a man. And if you want to be treated as such, you're going to act like such. Like I tell her. Like I tell a woman, don't expect to get treated as a woman when you want to be a man's equal. He gonna treat you just like a nigga. Don't expect to get treated like a lady and you working on a construction site. Big niggas, like he work on a construction site. Okay. Don't expect that shit. Don't expect it. Women be killing me want to do manly shit, but want to be treated like a woman. You got to pick a straight. You gonna be a bitch. You gonna be a nigga. Which one you gonna do, baby? How you rocking? So. With that, me personally, for the dating scene, like I've been dating since I've been 16 years old, so I've dated all kind of type of dudes, you know what I'm saying? I even went into dating women, didn't like that. That went for me. It was more drama on that side than it is. I was like, let me head back to where the dick at. At least I know when he stand up, I ain't got to wipe his pussy, you hear me? Let me goddamn go over here, you hear me? Go on back over here with a dick at, baby, because I can't deal with all that. With all that shit, all that PR, I can't deal with all that. It's just too much going on. It was just too much. Every day it was something. It was like every now and then we have a peaceful moment, but really it was every day it was something new. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, oh no, I'm straight on you, but she still be trying to hit me up, baby. I am good. Listen, I don't want any parts of what you got going on, baby. Nah, I'm straight. I'm straight.
I'm coming
back this way. Yeah, that's it. That's why I say I got this song that say, I thought you hold me down, but you were never around, so don't come back this way. I'm going to put that song out, baby. Don't come back this way. So, and you know, I meet people all the time, meet guys all the time. They look at me, they see I got a fat ass, and they see I'm dark skin, or I got pretty teeth, or I keep myself together, whatever the case may be. They might be like, oh, I see you doing this, doing that. They be wanting to holler, baby. The thing is, for anybody dating, can you meet that person's standards? Are you up to par with that person? If this person is going on this path, are you adding on or are you taking away?
Yeah.
What you doing? Because if you subtracting, then I can't fuck with you if you subtracting. Because goddamn 2 + 2 = 4. Not 1 + 2. Not 3 + 6. You know what I'm saying? We need an equal part. This ain't that. That ain't motherfucking this. And then, you know, bitches want to... Motherfuckers are so caught up. And this is another thing I heard somebody say. Bitches are so caught up in treating black men as cash cows. They don't realize they can build an empire with them. But you got to be somebody I can build with. You somebody you want to leave at? What you need me to? The holy hell of water? What the fuck you gonna lead me to? Somebody you want to be my leader? You or maybe running high, but you can't even make a decision if you want bread or eggs in the store. So how the fuck you gonna lead me somewhere? How you gonna lead me somewhere? You don't even spread your mayonnaise on your bread right. So how the fuck you finna lead me something the fuck well? Where the fuck we going? You feel me? Where the fuck is we going? So the dating scene, the dating scene is crazy. I have friends, like I just met this guy. He cool, he nice, you know, he's very affectionate and all that. You know, that's something I ain't really never had. Like, I date hood niggas, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
The most affection we get is like a little hug, or he might be like, damn, shout out, love the fuck out
hold
you.
My God.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Shit like that. Oh damn, they sexy and fuck that in you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the most affection I get. We may like her, we may kiss and cuddle in the bedroom, but
you ain't giving public. Too much affection.
Yeah, you feel me? Facts, because when you dealing with somebody that's, if you're a person that's raised off love, you cannot date somebody in no survival mode. That should have never worked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you're emotionally stable, you cannot date somebody that's not emotionally stable. It's a lot of black men out here that are not emotionally stable because of the way they grew up, because their mama tell them, men don't cry, or don't you be no pussy, don't let your feelings out, and now they holding all that shit in, so when they get old, they don't know how to manage their emotions. It's a lot of miscommunication. It's the same thing for women. It's a lot of miscommunication going on. So as me getting old, I realize, okay, it's not just them. It's me too. I got to work on some things too. And I have to learn how to manage my emotions and learn how to maneuver through life and learn how to deal with certain things and learn how to cope with certain things. I'm still learning my kids. I'm still learning as a parent, baby, not to goddamn yell and cuss and be ready. I'll be ready to smoke a joint. I'll be ready to hit a joint, maybe grab a pipe or something. Goddamn shit. I need a glass of wine. What the fuck going on right here, this motherfucker? So I have to learn, you know what I'm saying, to how to keep my composure. I learned how to learn how to be a diamond in a world full of, in a world full of Cuban Sagones. You feel what I'm saying? I got to learn how to be a diamond in a world of rubies. You know, I'm a ruby, but I'm saying, like, in a world full of fake ass rhinestones, I got to learn how to be a diamond. I have to learn.
And you gotta realize you're gonna be looked over.
For real, period. I'm always looked over. All that shit, like the Will, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you how I looked over. The Will Smith and Jada Pinkett shit. I told them folks in 2019 that she was sleeping with Oscar Aguilera, and Will knew about that shit. How about they come out of Red Table Talk a year later? 2019, I told you guys that Nicki Minaj was pregnant. She came out 2020, she pregnant. That damn baby told me he won. Bitch, that baby's almost two, bitch. You been hate that motherfucker, baby. But okay, we'll roll with it, Nicki. Last year, I told you guys in September, that Rihanna was pregnant. You can go on my Instagram, check this shit. She come out 4, 5, 6 months later. She pregnant. Bitch, I've been told you this shit. Last, like I told y'all about Jeannie Mai and Jeezy. Jeannie Mai and Jeezy are together because it looks good. And somebody told him, if you get you a black woman, don't get no black woman on your arm, you'll never make it. That's what they tell him in Hollywood. So he wouldn't got him a Chinese girl. You know good and well that Chinese people don't even mix outside that race like that. They don't do that type of shit. Then on top of that, I told them, I like, Jeannie Mai had been pregnant before, you know what I'm saying, but she lost the baby, her photographer had came. Oh, you a lie, you making no shit. She came out and said it on her YouTube channel. She was pregnant, she lost the motherfucking baby. I told you that them folk was on the, I told them folk, well, they had been dating 2-3 years, but even got married. She come out, she would date him while she was motherfucking married to the white man. So come on now, like you said, motherfucker, look off you, but see, I do my research. I gotta have all my receipts before I bring the tea. This is just an example of people looking over me. So now that people see that I'm doing my podcast and they see I play in 46 different countries. You feel what I'm saying? Now they see, like, oh shit. Like one girl had come in on the post. She was like, you tell my Rihanna pregnant. I don't see a baby bump. Get what I did. I scroll all the way down to September 16th of 2021. I said, baby, now you see the baby bump. And then she said, well, damn, I'm so motherfucking hurt. I said, right. So give me my props. What motherfucking props is motherfucking do, bitch?
And they don't like to give you your props when you write. That's
period.
I understand that.
Cause I had, what I was doing, when I was going hard with that blogging shit, I had inside sources telling me shit. The lady used a charge for the information. I mean, she's a big time blogger, like huge. People know who she is. She changed her name all the time. But this bitch was talking in my inbox. And then when she found out that I really do this blogging shit, she finally looked at my Instagram. She cut my ass off, baby. I don't even hear from the bitch. She's like, oh hell, no, I already know what you doing. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, and then, you know what I'm saying? I follow this blogger named Tasha K, and I really get into it, studying Tasha K, how she do stuff, and you know what I'm saying? Some things she do, I don't like, but then all of a sudden, the bitches that say they don't listen to gossip, they don't do this, all of a sudden, you're doing gossip columns. All of a sudden, you're following Tasha K. All of a sudden, you're in her inbox and trying to go meet her. All of a sudden, you over here in these folks' inbox trying to meet them to find the same people, because y'all don't even know about this shit before I turned you on. Now how the fuck you gonna give me, how you gonna fucking gonna use information that I gave you on me as if I don't motherfucking know, and I gave you the information? How the fuck that work? You can't be rude with you, baby.
Ain't do that.
But that nigga say, what Boosie say, baby? Who's the nigga? He ain't got no juice. He ain't got no juice. Nigga, you ain't rude with you. No, you ain't rude with you. Fuck you. You ain't got no motherfucking juice. You can't never be me, baby. It's only one me. So, I'm often duplicate, but I ain't never copy, baby. You cannot copy me.
They don't never copy, especially in this family, baby. We ain't doing that.
Listen, I fuck around, switch up. So she's like, how she doing? You be trying to keep up, and I already gonna be going down the street. Yeah, so that's why 2 years. So it's like, you know, like you said, when people don't give you your props, but you gotta keep working. You can't, because you gotta think about every underdog. What's his name? Kanye West was an underdog. Motherfucking Kendrick Lamar was an underdog. Had them basketball teams be underdogs.
Listen, let me tell you
the
something.
Saints was underdogs. But look at that shit. They kept going. They kept practicing. You got to see this. What you should think about this shit, you can think of this shit as a practice run. You overlook and nobody, you have 5 views or 6 views and everybody interact with your content. And I'm going to tell y'all something about them views. Facebook and Instagram don't always calculate up all your views. They only calculate if somebody tap and actually look at it. They not calculating people that seeing that shit from the box. And when I say say from the bars, it's like somebody scrolling up, stopping, looking a little bit, and keep going. They don't count all views. So you got many people looking at you. I run ads and all kind of shit. Like, you may see my ad pop up on your timeline. Like, I'll be talking, I do my hashtags, all that. You seeing me, right? Yeah, so it don't cost nothing to run ads on Facebook. You do $1 a day for 30 days, you're going to reach a maximum of 30,000 people. You do $7 for six days. You feel what I'm saying? The thing is getting new people in front of your content. Facebook and Instagram will help you target. Do you know that Facebook and Instagram will boost your ass up when they see people interacting with your posts? They see
you interacting.
Yeah, they'll boost your shit up. You can monetize. Yeah. I would monetize if Facebook don't block my ass time. I can't make no one on Facebook. I was told they had put me in this Reels program where I can make up to $35,000 a month just posting creative videos. Where I started posting all kind of shit. I just seen $35,000. I ain't read the rules. Girl, I'm posting goddamn naked niggas, naked bitch. Look, them folks block my ass and you are no longer eligible to earn goddamn the bonus. I'm like, damn.
Be mad.
But bad hair side. Now I gotta start all over. It's okay. Now I know the rules. I know how to move. See, that's the thing about learning life experiences. As my grandma, as your auntie, aka my grandma, aka your auntie, Uncle, would say, keep on living. Just keep on living. You know, I'm just elated. I'm honored to be here. You know what I'm saying? It's plenty of time I could have been dead, lost my life. I got all my limbs. I got all my eyes. I ain't hurting for shit. I got beautiful kids. Like, I got all my equipment I need to succeed. Like, I'm just honored to be here. So when you say somebody overlooking me, baby, they not overlooking me. They overlooking themselves. You sleeping, baby. You better wake the fuck up, because when I get there, you know what I'm saying? You're going to be like, damn.
They can't overlook you once you up.
Once you up, if it's up, then it's stuck. Fuck you talking about Cardi B stole that shit from a nigga. Somebody, she ain't steal that shit, bitch. We know you out here. You so worried about what that nigga doing. You can't even create rhymes for your own damn self. You got to cop out of it. But get what? Beyonce got some. Beyonce has a long list of motherfucking lawsuits of her copying motherfuckers.
Not Beyonce.
Yes, she do. You better check that shit out. She been taking this lady to court for 9 years about the name. She been taking this lady to court for 9 years about the name Blue Ivy. Blue Ivy. That Blue Ivy wasn't even born when that lady came with their damn business. They been going back to court for 9 years. Yo, she gonna drag that shit out. She gonna try to rake that lady's pocket. But get what? The joke's on you, Eddie Griffin.
You said Eddie Griffin.
The joke's on you, baby.
Bro, shit.
She tried it. Why I say you gotta be like people be thinking like these artists that become their creators. They're not creators, they're copiers.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Cause the same motherfucker like me that overlooked, they'll come steal my country. You know who I am. And motherfucker taking the rent with you, like DJ Khaled. This little rapper was overlooked. You feel what I'm saying? He gave DJ Khaled his mixtape at a little park. Club party. Next thing you know, he hit his beat on Do You Mind. Oh no, I got the key. I got the key. You know, he like, hold on, that's my shit. Sue the fuck out. DJ Khaled pay that nigga $3 million.
Nigga mad as hell,
And every time that, notice that you don't hear that song like that. Every time that motherfucker spin, that boy gotta get paid. So you don't play that shit like that. Oh, okay, we got you. But anyway, moving on. But like you said, about that overlooked shit, don't worry about that. Y'all gotta keep pressing on. Yeah. But moving on. Sure. I enjoy you, cuz like this is a great conversation. I'm glad I'm glad you got down, stopped by. You know what I'm saying? So look, I'm doing this panel, right? I got one person name down. So I'm doing this panel. I need 5 black men and 5 black women. We're going to talk about the issues at hand, okay? We're going to talk about issues at hand in the black community. And I'm looking for 5 black women, 5 black men, all walks of life, young, old, middle-aged, disabled, mentally, whatever. As long as you're able to have an open-minded conversation, as long as you're able to sit down and have a decent and respectable discussion without insulting each other or throwing shots at each other. We want open-minded people. We want people that are honest and candid. So would you be interested in joining the panel?
Of course.
Okay, so I'm gonna write you down. It's gonna be a virtual panel. We're gonna do 7 series, okay? Seven series of the panel. What I was gonna say? I forgot what I was finna say. Maybe I should have said this shit off air, because you the motherfucker be listening. But what God has me, it is me, baby. You can't take me. Ain't gonna be nothing like that, okay? And I'll be able to record. I mean, you know what? This is proof. So if anybody ever caught my idea, I'll be able to go back and say, well, I said this shit March 29th, 2022. Yeah, I've been saying it. Anyway, so It's gonna be a virtual panel, so it's gonna be virtual. But if it goes well, we're gonna try to plan something in person. Okay, so but okay. it's gonna be virtual. So I got one name for the male side, I got you for the women's side. So I need four more people. If you're okay. listening, you want to join the panel. Don't give a fuck if you from as long as you talk good English. Don't give a fuck if you from Zimbabwe. All that. As long as you speak good English, you can come with an open mind. You can give us a different perspective from your perspective. We want people that's gonna give real perspectives, experiences, open minded, candid. Don't mind saying what they gotta say, and ain't shy to get on mic and get on camera and talk that shit. This type of people we want. I'm glad I wrote your name down. Before we get the fuck up out of here, I got to ask you. A celebrity, do a celebrity gossip top. I got to ask you.
All right, come on.
So, what do you think about the Will Smith and Chris Rock situation?
I feel like he could have handled it a different situation. Because growing up, I'm pretty sure he had many people talk about his mom and, you know, stuff like that. So I just feel like he could have went a different route because, I mean, you're on national TV, if I'm not mistaken. So it's just like, I feel like you basically showing your character, you basically showing who you is when you're mad. So it's just like, I feel like it's a certain way that you go about a certain situation. So I just feel like he could have did that differently in private, even though he got, you know, publicly, but I just feel like everything, you know, isn't for the world to see. That's just me though. Like, I feel like he could have got him backstage and they could have had a regular conversation about that. And then that was just that. Then the world would been like, oh, what happened? The world wouldn't even know because they already had that, you know, that talk behind stage. So I just feel like it's a certain way you go about different situations. So that's just how I see it.
Yeah, that's just how I feel. Money Trees is a perfect place to be. So now that you're in this is out, and I'm going to send you the link to the Facebook videos. You can go ahead like and watch it and stuff like that and give me, you know, tell me what you think about it. But I did like a live Facebook, live via Facebook and via YouTube. So I went into detail and stuff. So my take on it was you could have handled that shit different way. You could have did a red table talk. You could have did that shit behind stage. Yeah. You could have chuckled that shit because he was joking on everybody. What comedians do, like, if that's the case, cancel all comedy then because comedians been talking that shit. Comedians do that. He don't know you personally. See, that's how you know, like Jim Carrey said, Will Smith got some other shit going on inside of him. And that moment right there just retelling his face. Because see, they ain't, I can tell they not on good terms in that relationship. He had to prove something to her. Cause he probably done got caught shit. He probably done got docked on shit in private. So he had to prove himself to her. See, you had to watch people body language, watch how they move and their actions. And they'll tell you a lot about him. You feel what I'm saying?
He wasn't trying to, it was all in his face. I seen it in his face.
Cause you laughed at the joke at first. Then she looked like, you like, damn, you gonna let him do that? Then that's when you went up there and did all that. You feel what I'm saying? So, and people will make, some people are on his side, some people on Chris Rock's side, some people are neutral about the situation. He's like, I don't fault Chris Rock cause you didn't know nothing about, hell, we didn't even know about, you sat at the round table talking like everybody up there except for your own shit. We didn't know your ass had motherfucking alopecia, right? We didn't know that. We didn't, that's something, nobody really knew that. So for you to get upset, like he was talking about your hairstyle. He wasn't talking about your, see that how you know you went through, that how you know you wrong, you went too deep. You thought you see now you about to, they somebody pressing charges on that man. Chris Rock denies that he's not gonna do it. But the DA can pick that shit up. They may press charge. He finna get his grade. He might not ever be able to come back to the Oscars again. And on top of that, you took away the limelight from a lot of other black people that work hard to get to where they got to go. Like Jim Carrey said, that's not no easy task to work. You know what I'm saying? To get to the Oscars, you got to go through a lot of shit. And for you to goddamn try to take that moment and make it something about you, that's narcissistic as fuck.
Yeah.
You made that shit about you. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. We didn't get a chance to see Samuel Jackson get his shit. We didn't get the chance to see the other guy from Quest of Love get his shit. We didn't get a chance to acknowledge these people that actually got. We didn't get to see Megan perform. Megan was there. Shut the shit down. She did her performance.
You got to learn how to control your emotions.
You got to learn how to control that shit, bro.
Yeah,
you let a temporary circumstance turn motherfucking permanent. Now you finna be in a shitload, a boatload of trouble. Now they finna like shit. We don't even know we wanna goddamn even have a motherfucking. You feel what I'm saying? Because it's a time and place. People are like, why I gotta act like this in front of white people? Like, it's not even about white and black. It's not about white and black. You can be yourself in front of whoever you wanna be yourself in front of, but just know what you're doing. And it's not about white and black. It's a time and a place for everything. That wasn't a place for that. Time for that. You embarrassed a lot of motherfuckers there. Now people see that you got a temple, they ain't gonna wanna fuck with you. You got that, you done fucked up deals and all kind of shit you fucking up.
Yeah.
So now he want to sit there. So then you want to get up there and cry just like a narcissistic motherfucker. Now you finna sit down. Now, allegedly, within the next few weeks, they finna have a red table talk about the shit. Nah, nigga, you should did that from the jump. Now you did. And get what happened for goddamn Chris Rock here? His sales goddamn up. Between last night and tonight, baby, he has sold out of his worldwide coming to it, sold the fuck out. Sales went up, they sold that bitch out. He finna make some money off that one slap.
Yeah, he finna make.
Thank you for slapping the fuck out of me, Will Smith. Right. We appreciate you.
More money in my pocket.
We appreciate you.
Do it again. I like that.
And I tell anybody, goddamn, sometimes you got to turn a bad situation into a good. It's always a good. It's always a good. It's always good in something. It's always good in something. Give me your final remarks, cuz, before we end this. I thank you so much. Give me your final remarks. Give me your final remarks. Want you to shout out your Instagram and where they can find you and how they can shop with you and stuff like that. So give us your final remarks on, like, you know, the whole Will Smith and Chris Rock situation. Give us your final remarks on that, and then we gonna head the fuck about him.
On that, if you find yourself in that situation, please control your emotions. Just walk away. Like she said, it's a time and place for everything. I just want to thank you so much for having me. It's my first time doing it. Got to do it again.
Yeah.
And if anybody who's listening is interested in custom clothing, you can follow me on Instagram at Chips with an S, the letter N, T-I-T-S. I just want to say thank you again, cousin, for having me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. No problem. Before you go, where did you come up with that name at?
Man, listen, let me tell you. I made that up in middle school, and I had it ever since. That's why people call me Chips. So it's just like, I just took that in. That's how
people did you, I'm saying, like, what made you come up with Chips and Tits? Like,
I just wanted to be something different. Everybody.
But you just thought about Chips, and you seen a lot of tits? Yeah, so like, what?
I kind of like tits too, so yeah, let me grab these together. Like, you know who? Hey, be real. Who you know? Hey. Who their username is that?
Nobody. I thought, cause when you had hit me up on Instagram, nobody but your crazy ass. So when you had hit me up, I thought, who the fuck is this? I said, I don't know these motherfuckers. And then look, you so damn fine. Look, you look so different on goddamn Instagram. So you had that side thing. I'm like, I don't know who the fuck this nigga is, but you gotta get up in here. Yo, I'm like, oh, that's my damn cousin. I'm like, oh shit, what's up, cousin?
Hey man, I ain't letting these females stress me out.
Period. Goddamn. No. Hey, it's a hole before brawl, baby. Stress before goddamn caress. Hey, you talking about? I'm leader. I'd rather goddamn be caressing my own set of stressing over your ass. So it's goddamn caress over stress. What you talking about? Yes. But anyway, cuz I love you. I thank you so much for coming on and chilling out with us and chatting up with Ruby Jew Radio. Make sure you tell the people once again where they can find you at. You on what all the social media platforms that you own. Make sure, you know, just tell them again so they can get it, because some people don't be listening. Go ahead, tell them again where they can find you at.
Okay, my Instagram is Chips and Tits, Chips, the letter N, T-I-T-S. On TikTok, you can find me at Chips and Tits. But the S is a Z. Like, again, because I just want to say thank you for this amazing opportunity. I'll be on here again. Thank you,
guys. Yes, welcome. You're welcome. Yes. So look, this is how we always end the show. Maybe you can take some of this with you and make use of the motivation. Okay, so it's been nice, it's been fun, but your girl gotta run. Life is too short. Have fun some of the time. Ain't shit all good when your ass is all broke. So keep some money in your motherfucking pocket. The most expensive thing is a closed mind. So always keep your shit open. Revenge is a dish best served cold, but the best revenge is a living. Well, okay, and if you don't remember anything we did or said in this podcast record, remember that we people revenge, strong people forgive, intelligent people ignore. Figure out what person you are, and remember to always, always, always tell the truth, even when nobody's listening, because somebody hit your motherfucking ass.
Amen.
Until next time, America, we are out. We out.
Should I take my chance? It's 4 a.m. just waking up. I up out my sleep. Check my phone to see if anybody called me. Decided to go through your Facebook page, checking on your status, cause I ain't seen you lately. Your sexy style and your unique physique got me in my feelings, yeah, got me so weak. Wanna hit your inbox, but I know I ain't ready. Wanna tell you how I feel, but I know I ain't ready. It's something about the way you smile in your pit. Make me wanna ride it right out on top of it. Yeah, it's Man Crush Monday. Just to put it in a fun, I feel my world. Went to the bar to grab a few more drinks, look to my left, and I see you staring back at me. Damn, this my chance to shoot my shot.
If I don't, I might ever get another shot.
Been waiting on this chance that's right here in front of me. Should I take my chance? It's a